me a mission. I got demons to slay. Communication major talking this way. Anxious World. What's going on, everybody? I thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Anxiety About Anxiety podcast. I'm your host, Keith. Back to do what I do. Be that voice. Be that, you know, that motivation for people to get out there and talk about their, you know, talk about their mental health and any struggles that they having, or just to share their struggles with other people and tell them and, you know, guide them on how they were able to, you know, fix their mental health and, you know, become a better person because they went out there and they, you know, got that help and they become a better version of themselves. And sometimes, you know, when you share your story and you just, you know, you got, you talk to people and you guide them, you never know, you know, what can happen for that person, you know, because a lot of times it's a lot of people out there that's keeping it in, you know, keeping it secret, not really sharing what they're going through. Some don't know what they're going through, to be honest with you, but there's some people out there that can kind of tell that something is not right and they just keeping it a secret. And that's what you're going to hear today on this episode. I'm happy and really honored for the guest that we got for you guys today. Her name is Joanne Garrett, and the title of her episode is I Had a Secret. And that secret was she was dealing with depression. And, you know, she kind of hid it from her husband and her family and friends. And she didn't really want to share what she was going through. And so she's going to open up about that struggle that she had trying to, you know, be a wife and a mother while also, you know, becoming a doctor, or, you know, she was a doctor and, you know, doing all of that. And I can just that already sounds like a lot already. But she was also dealing with depression, and she's going to open up about how she, you know, was able to confront that depression. I like to say confront that depression that she was struggling with. And, you know, she was able to come out and talk about it and, you know, get that help that she really severely needed and get her life back on track. And sometimes, because I've been through this, and I know several people have been through there. I've been through this similar situation. You keep that secret because you don't know how people are going to react to you. You don't know what people's going to say to you, you know, how they're going to view you, how they're going to look at you. You know, I kept my secret for a long time. I feel like I kept a secret from myself. I was trying to lie to myself that I didn't have anything wrong with me, but that was not true. And so Joanne, you know, she's going to, you know, open up about that, you know. And so Joanne, I appreciate you for, you know, lending your voice and your story, and keep doing what you do. And, yeah, I really, really appreciate it. As for the podcast, we're going to keep doing what we got to do. We're going to keep moving along. The last couple episodes, like I said before, I've been trying to highlight men and mental health. A lot of guys out there, we don't like to talk about what we're going through. The vulnerability word, we don't really identify with too good. So I just been trying to highlight that. I got more of those episodes coming along here shortly. And yeah, we're going to just keep doing. Well, I'm going to keep doing what I got to do, you guys. Once again, I thanks for all the support, all the love. All the people reaching out, yo, we a community, so we gotta stick together. You know, we gotta let our voice be heard. You know, there's people out there struggling. They need us. We need them. We all need each other. Okay? So let's get into this episode with Joanne Garrett. I Had a Secret here on the Anxiety About Anxiety podcast. I'll be back next week, you guys. You know what it is. Another inspirational, helpful, much needed story. Everybody stay safe and stay blessed.
Hi, I'm Joanne Garrett, and I am a family physician on my 18th year of maternity leave, a podcaster at the Fancy Free Podcast, where my guests and I tell our most embarrassing, funny stories so that we all feel less alone in our imperfections and demonstrate how to forge connection through vulnerability with humor. I also am the designer and owner of Shelfie Shop. Shelfie Shop sells super cozy built-in shelf bra, loungewear, and pajamas for women. And I blog at cozyclothesblog.com. I am joining you today to share my story of depression and anxiety, and I hope that it makes some of you feel understood, less alone, or arms you with the language maybe to describe what you're going through to someone that needs to know. I hope learning my secret makes you or a loved one feel less alone, more understood. Every depression has its unique beginning, progression, and path. Mine has been with me off and on since my teen years, but I didn't look it in the face until decades later. This is my story. I love my husband, not in a common way. This love is an earth-shattering, jigsaw puzzle fit, hallelujah chorus kind of love. I look at him and I just reel with the awe of our having found each other. We have a mutual respect that sees us through conflict and a collective sense of humor that keeps us laughing. And yet I have a disease that, at its worst, made me want to turn away, not from him, but from his need of me, from my role in his life. My emotional reserve was so shallow that by afternoon, anything but solitude felt like an assault. I was obligated and determined to meet the needs of my daughters, and after doing my best with that, I had nothing left for him. I love my kids. My highest ambition had always been to be a wife and a mom. We waited 6 long years to have our 2 girls, and they are more than I could ever have designed. So much more. Yet this vicious, lying thief of a disease left me walking the other way when I heard their sweet footsteps. Please don't need me. Please don't need me. On repeat in my unwell mind. I love my parents and my sister. They love me and support me unconditionally and have never wavered in showing this. Never. But I hid my disease from them. The energy it would take to explain and reassure eluded me, leaving me in a selfish lie of omission which would, were the tables turned, hurt me deeply. I love my God. Since the age of 3, I have had an abiding, life-giving faith in my Creator. Yet this disease flattened my resolve and dulled my hope. I never lost faith, yet I didn't seek God for help. I love my friends, and yet I withdrew from almost all of them. I felt I had nothing to give, most times feeling already scraped clean, turned inside out, and shaken empty just by the basic responsibilities of daily living. Every depression has its unique beginning, progression, path. Mine has been with me off and on since my teen years. I was in a juvenile relationship that ended in a rejection, and the effect that had on my mental state was way out of proportion to the situation. In retrospect, that was my first bout. Then I was in college in Seattle and began feeling spent, worn thin partway through the day. This was uncharacteristic for my typically high-energy, determined self. I didn't know what it was then. I kept thinking that if I could just get more sleep, I'd be fine. I limped by, graduated, and moved back to our huge, bright Reno skies and the challenge of medical school, and I returned to myself. Medical school and residency brought their own built-in anxieties, but that dark cloud and inexplicable worn thin feeling didn't return until after I had my first baby at age 31. With the sleep deprivation and newfound responsibility, it seemed expected. I wasn't as happy as I had envisioned being, but I was exhausted from 60-minute sleep intervals and all that comes with being a new parent. The storm cloud didn't take up residence again until around age 40. With no warning or reason, the skies went gray and the bottom fell out of my heart, despite all the love I had in my life. Premature ovarian failure or early onset menopause confused the picture. I had hot flashes, a brain full of cobwebs, an inability to multitask, and a short anger fuse. I couldn't find my cheerful, high-functioning, energized self anywhere. Prescription hormones helped some. I thought they should fix everything, so I waited to feel normal again. I waited for 2 years, telling no one. The feeling was one of inexplicable, deep, all-encompassing defeat. A turning point for me was reading a blog article from cuppajoe.com entitled The Hardest 2 Months of My Life. In the telling of the author's own self-realization, she says, "The funny thing about depression is that you don't know that it's depression, like chemical imbalance in your brain or a hormonal crash. You just think it's your actual life, that your career really is ending, that you really are a terrible mother, that your husband really will stop loving you, that friends do think you're boring. When you're depressed, you don't realize that your life actually is fine. You're simply sad because you're depressed. The depression is the reason for the depression. The depression is the reason for the depression." I began thinking about how I have a significant family history of clinical depression and about how no matter what I fixed, I never felt better. Her description of the experience, the feeling, the mindset rang so true to me that I felt I was reading words I myself had written. When I finally decided to confide in a friend and in my husband, they were both blindsided. I'm a great pretender. How could I have looked so normal to those closest to me when inside my cup was emptying faster than it could be filled and springing new leaks every day? It was as if the appearance of being okay was all I could control, all I had left of my former self. I resisted medication because I was afraid I'd lose my, quote, edge. This was a lingering fear from the residency days when I was convinced that one of the reasons I was a good doctor was because of the fault line my anxiety kept me straddling. I thought my anxious perfectionism was my superpower. But in truth, depression blunted my edge. I had no energy and was so quick to think I just don't care. I never contemplated suicide, but I did sometimes wonder how having me around in this state was irreparably, if subtly, harming my kids. And I often thought that it would be a relief to just be done. Waves of despair hit me at the oddest times. I'd often find myself carting through Walmart, willing myself not to cry while calmly consulting my shopping list. At every point in my past, if something was scary or hard, I would simply approach it with the requisite level of vigor, determination, and focus, and then presto, mind over matter would prevail. I prided myself on my mental hardiness, my ability to avoid shrinking in the face of fear. But mind over matter could not fix this. Love could not fix this. It was a first and it was a blow. Grit and strength of will had failed me, and love, rather than being a savior, felt like another way to fail. I eventually found a combination of exercise, adequate sleep, and medication which has me back at center. There is no such thing as a happy pill or a quick fix. Sometimes I'm happy and sometimes I'm sad, but with medication and good self-care, I can reach happy. And when I'm sad, it's about something sad, not about something trivial or for no reason at all. This story has no tidy conclusion. My life is an ongoing, messy combination of joy, love, faith, disappointment, struggle, and striving, just like yours. I'm telling it so you or someone you love might feel less alone, a little more understood, armed with the language to describe their invisible battle. I tell it so that those that have the gift of sound mental health might remember that a person who looks completely together may be drowning.